one.
You're listening to KLOK 1170 AM, San Jose, San Francisco, Oakland, and the entire Bay Area.
Sapne salamat dosto. Welcome to Jeans, T-shirt and Tie, the only Desi talk show of its kind anywhere in the whole world. Have you ever dreamed about starting a business? Then this show is dedicated to you and for you. The show is for entrepreneurs, dreamers, investors, techies, and non-techies. Anyone and everyone that has a dream.
Our host, Rohit Chandra, himself has started several companies in Silicon Valley, raised millions of dollars in equity financing, and has inventions that are currently being used by hundreds of millions of users on the web.
Welcome. My name is Rohit Chandra, and I am the founder of a micro-information service on the web called Rohit.com, a service that I hope will one day transform the way you use the web. Yes, it's called Rohit.com. Tune in to KLOK 1170 every Saturday at noon, and we'll talk about everything it takes to build a company. Idea, recruiting, incorporation, market, bootstrapping, venture capital, intellectual property, and more. Tech businesses and non-tech businesses. We'll hear stories from people like you and me who have done this successfully. Call in and ask specific questions or generic questions and engage in a stimulating discussion about building a company. Sunna na bhuliye, har Saturday, dopahar 12 baje. Every Saturday at 12 noon. Sapne Salamat, dosto. Sapne Salamat. Welcome to another episode of Sapne Salamat. This is a show that's dedicated to anyone with a dream. This is a show for entrepreneurs, for dreamers, for investors, for technical people and non-technical people. Anyone and everyone that has a dream. So as you know by now, we are on every Saturday at noon. And as you also know by now, this is a non-commercial show. The singular goal of this show is to promote entrepreneurship and help you realize your dreams. No money has been paid. No money has been received by anybody to make an appearance on this show today. So think of this show as a helpline for startups, if you will. We do get a lot of requests for mentoring. We do get a lot of requests for people that have questions about what to do with their startups, how to structure it, and how to do various different things. I always encourage folks, please call on the air, ask your questions on the air, because the questions that you have are quite often repeated and quite often asked by various different founders. So if we can address your questions on the air, we can share that knowledge with other entrepreneurs out there that might have similar questions. Actually, we have to come back and talk about one of the questions that came up on last week's show, where we had two or three different callers that called in and asked about whether people on H-1Bs can start a company. And I said that H-1Bs can start a company and you can be an employee to your own company. I've got a guest to the studios today who thinks differently and is sure I'm wrong. So I want to put that out there so we can know whether... Well, actually, I don't know whether it's right or not, but I'll put it in as a correction any which way. So just stay tuned for a few more minutes. We'll talk about that. In the meantime, if you have questions related to startups, as we mentioned, you can always call in at 408-912-5565. That's 408-912-KLOK. And callers, please make sure to turn the radio down when you call. Quickly recapping for the benefit of our newer listeners. In the past, we've talked to two fantastic VCs. We talked about Venture Capital 101 from an entrepreneur's viewpoint and not from the VC's viewpoint. But what that basically means is not just about how to raise money, but when you're looking to raise money, who to raise money from, what is it that makes the VC tick, why he'd be interested in investing in your company, and why you should be interested in taking money from VC A as opposed to VC B. Guest today, again, has a very interesting opinion on that, and we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. Got a very exciting guest in the studio that I'm going to disclose his name in just a few seconds here. In the past, we also talked about the horror stories of an entrepreneur, where he took, raised about $30 million from venture capital, and things didn't sort of pan out, and he came and talked about why things didn't pan out, what happened, and what the various gotchas were. So if you want to catch any of these shows, you can always go to rohit.com/radio. We do have a podcast. We do have archives of past shows that you can catch up on. We also did a show where we talked about Indians helping Indians. We did another show where we talked about a big business idea, and we sort of threw it out there to see if some entrepreneur wants to take the idea and go build a business around it. We've also done the anatomy of a startup, where we've talked about structure, thought processes. We've talked about how to narrow in and the idea, how to find and build a solution for your idea, how to find parallels in the real world. We talked about naming your company. We talked about, how to generate buzz for your machine. So lots of different things. And we've had some fabulous entrepreneurs as well, people who've raised literally hundreds of millions of dollars in equity financing for individual companies, if you will. So we've had all kinds of fun stuff. We've got exciting guests coming up. And as usual, folks, feel free to challenge me. I've known to have made mistakes before, and I'm sure I'm going to make some more ahead. So we've got a fantastic guest in the studios today. We've got Vivek Wadhwa with us. Welcome to the show, Vivek.
Hey, thanks for having me here.
No, real pleasure. So Vivek is a repeat entrepreneur. He's done two startups. And after having done two startups, Vivek now writes for Business Week. He writes for TechCrunch. And I put him in the bucket of being an opinion maker and a thought leader. So without saying much more, let's hear from Vivek. So let's start at the beginning. Vivek, you're born in India?
Born in India. My father was in the diplomatic service, so we're traveling abroad. We were abroad most of my life.
That must have been fun. That's always sort of been a dream for most kids growing up in India. You wanted to grow up all over the world and see the world.
Well, I did it, whether it was fun or not. That was all I knew.
Right. Okay. And so you did finished your graduation from where? When?
In Canberra University in Australia. I did
oh,
my
Australia.
Bachelor's.
Yeah. Okay, lovely.
And then I basically was, I studied computer programming.
Yeah.
And I joined the programming profession. I started my career off as a coder, basically.
Excellent, right. Excellent. And how does a coder become an entrepreneur?
That's life, luck, and chance, basically.
Life, luck, and chance. All right. we'll absorb that.
Right. So basically, I started my career writing computer code. Eventually, I came to the United States. My father had been transferred over here. I joined him joined the Xerox Corporation, and then I joined First Boston later on in my career. At First Boston, we had a challenge to solve. We were trying to redevelop our entire infrastructure, our entire legacy system.
This is Credit Suisse First Boston we're talking about.
Credit Suisse First Boston, exactly.
Okay.
On a client-server platform. Except this was 1985, before anyone knew what client-server was, before the technologies existed. So I ended up developing some tools to make it happen, to allow regular people to develop sophisticated client-server systems.
Uh-huh.
What I ended up building were one of the first CASE tools, computer-aided software engineering tools,
right,
in the world.
And CASE is such an old terminology. I haven't heard that in probably a decade or something. Right?
I was one of the pioneers in the CASE industry.
Fantastic.
And we were really, really successful at rebuilding First Boston systems.
Yeah.
And then IBM came to us and offered to fund the creation of a startup company to market our technologies.
How does that happen? So you're building it instead of CSFB,
right,
but IBM decides to fund it.
I know, isn't that weird that you have the investment banker now providing the technology, because the technology company providing the capital.
Yes, I never thought of it that way, but that's exactly right.
Yes, it was a strange twist of fate.
Yeah.
But we had built some really innovative technology.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, was used to re-automate First Boston's entire technology infrastructure.
Uh-huh.
So, and IBM saw the potential, and they provided us $20 million of seed funding to create a startup.
Nice. $20 million of seed. I could use some seed funding myself.
I know. So basically, I got hurled into entrepreneurship. I became the executive vice president, chief technology officer of a company called Seer Technologies.
Okay.
And the company was a huge success. We went from zero to $120 million in revenue in 5 years, IPO in year 5.5.
Wow. $120 million of revenues per year. I'm just sort of throwing that
company
number out there so folks can absorb that number.
In a software company.
Yes.
Now, you have to put that into perspective. We're talking about doing this in the early 90s, and not even Microsoft.
This is before the heydays. The heyday started in the mid-90s.
Exactly. Not even Microsoft had grown this fast. Not even Oracle had. Lotus hadn't. We were the first software company to reach $100 million in such a short period of time. So it was a huge success.
Interesting. Yeah. And what happened to that? So did you end up taking the company public?
We took it public at the wrong time.
On NASDAQ?
What happens is that venture capitalists get greedy. Our venture capitalists started...
Aren't they in the business of being greedy?
Right, I know. But they force companies to do things which they shouldn't. So in this case, we had just grown to $100 million. You know, if you speak to any expert in the industry, there are several inflection points in the industry, like $100 million is one.
Right.
You need to regroup and rethink what you're doing at that level, and then go to the next level, which is $500 million and $1 billion and so on. We were so much out of breath by the time we reached $100 million that it wasn't the right time to go public. But we did anyway. And it was a very successful IPO.
Yeah.
But it wasn't fun afterwards because we were, trying,
quarter to quarter, trying to make numbers.
And I was just so fed up of the the public world, and I wasn't convinced that we could maintain our traction in the long term.
Yeah.
So I basically told the board that I was leaving the company. I wanted to exit, and we worked out a deal. I left a year later and started my own company called Relativity Technologies.
Okay. And this is when? This is 97?
97. And Relativity was also a very big success to start with. We raised quite a bit. I mean, $7 million worth of venture capital in the first year, year and a half. I brought in Matthew Zulick as my president, all-star team. Matthew Zulick.
Is Matthew Zulick a name I should know?
He ended up becoming CEO of Red Hat.
Okay.
And Red Hat became a spectacular success also.
Okay.
But Relativity did very well. We grew, you know, we were growing by leaps and bounds. Except when the dot-com bubble burst.
Yes.
We were an enterprise software company. I thought we would be immune from the disaster of the dot-com world.
Yeah.
Miscalculated. The company got into trouble, and I struggled to turn it around. And I did turn it around. I mean, by the time I was done, we were now looking at 200% growth rates, 27% profit margins, spectacular success. So I decided to take a vacation after having done all that.
Now, before you came on the show, I was doing a little bit of research on you, and I found that Relativity was named in the 25 coolest companies to work for around the world by Fortune.
Fortune magazine called us coolest. Forbes magazine labeled me, what was the title they gave me? I forgot what it was, but it was like... it was a kind of entrepreneur of the century or something. Forbes, leader of tomorrow is what they called me. I was in the media.
How flattering! Audit.
Yeah, I know. Are you kidding? We were on top of the world. I mean, I was on CNN, CNBC, every TV station there was all the time. It seemed.
Yeah.
So it was basically like being a celebrity in the tech world.
During
those days.
Yeah.
Except when the company got into trouble, it was just painful. And I miscalculated, and I basically paid for it. I turned the company around. I worked like a dog for a year, year and a half, and I turned it around, spectacular success, decided to take a vacation, and ended up having a heart attack.
Oh, no.
I know. I mean, what happened was that I had burnt myself out, working so hard, and put my own money into the company to turn it around.
When was this?
This is 2002.
Oh,
I was 45 years of age, and I thought it was indestructible, because you have to realize that when you achieve so much success, it goes to your head. I mean, you become egotistical, and you begin to believe that you begin to believe your own press. So everyone was cheering. People were stunned that I had turned the company around, and that we were growing spectacularly. I mean, it was one of the in the venture capital world. This is after 9/11 as well.
Yeah,
it was one of the few companies that achieved so much success so rapidly at that time period.
Okay, lovely. So, and now what happens after you? You have this troublesome peer.
Then I'm in the hospital, and my venture capitalists realize that they're sitting on a pot of gold over here, and it's the only pot of gold in the entire portfolio. They tried hijacking the company.
Wait. Okay. This is getting interesting now. So, first and foremost, who were the VCs? So, we've got another story of...
Let's tell you what. Let's not name them here. People can Google them themselves, okay?
Give me fund names.
Intel Capital.
Intel Capital is very well respected in the Valley.
Nora Mosley, Wakefield Group, those were my venture capitalists. But, those are desperate times.
Yeah.
What happens in desperate times is that people do things which they wouldn't do.
They take desperate measures.
Yeah, if they were in normal times.
Yeah.
So these people decided to hijack my company.
Okay.
And they tried taking over it while the only problem was I was in critical care in the hospital.
Oh, no.
And they saw an opportunity. It was, like I said, in those times.
That's really below the belt.
Yeah, Rohit, but what happened was, look at the time period, 2002. Almost every venture investment that the VCs had made was in the toilet.
Okay? Yeah.
They were bleeding to death.
Absolutely.
They were taking fire. They were worried about their jobs.
Yeah.
And here was a healthy company. Here was a company now that was talking about record profitability, 200% growth rates.
Yeah.
Unheard of.
Yeah.
Right? And here was the CEO now, an Indian guy, disabled in the hospital. And Indians don't sue. Indians don't file lawsuits. They're timid people. They're nice people. And therefore, this was prime picking for them. And they decided to go out.
Please tell me you filed a lawsuit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I basically fought back.
Yeah.
And I defeated them.
Oh, you did?
Oh,
good for
absolutely.
You.
I won the battles, and I got the settlement on my terms.
Okay.
But the trouble was I was so sick of the tech world then. I was so fed up of...
And physically sick.
I was physically sick. I was sick of the tech world. I was burnt out. I mean, because these were my friends. These venture capitalists were my best friends. We used to have board meetings at my house. That's how close the relationship was. But again,
money does strange things to people, huh?
Yeah, also, I was an Indian in the South. You have to realize that.
Where in the South were you?
In Raleigh, North Carolina.
Okay.
And these people assumed that because I'm an Indian, I could be taken advantage of. And then
I'm not so sure I buy into that one, Vivek, because that's almost an internal thing. And I've heard that more than once before when we've talked to entrepreneurs where things have not gone right. I think in the last 20 years, or more specific, in the last 15 years, Indians have proven themselves so well that if anything, the venture community is going to take a step back before they...
This is Silicon Valley. Okay, get outside Silicon Valley, it's a different universe. Let me give you one data point.
Okay.
In the last 25, 30 years, name one Indian company that's been funded in Raleigh, North Carolina by a local venture capitalist.
Oh, Lord.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero.
There isn't a chance in hell that I could name anything.
Right, okay.
Raleigh, North Carolina is complete boondocks for me, even though I went to school in the South.
But RTP we're talking about.
Right,
considering that zero Indian firms have ever been funded by venture capitalists over there.
Yeah.
Is pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I know we've got calls waiting on the line,
right.
And I'm a producer signaling for a break. So we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and continue talking to Vivek Wadhwa.
Do you use Rohit to make highlights?
Yeah.
Why?
Because everything I highlight is automatically saved and clipped for me.
So, what's the benefit?
What's the benefit, you ask? Let me tell you. Everything I highlight is automatically filed for me. So, for example, if I'm doing a search for something using Google or whatever, typically, I have to go through several pages, and on each page, there is only a part of the page that I'm interested in. I just highlight the portions of the page that are of interest to me. Rohit automatically, behind the scenes, saves all my highlights for me. I can then just go and see everything in my collection on one page.
That sounds pretty nifty.
Yeah, get this. I can then further cherry pick and combine them. What that does is, it shows me all the underlying pages with highlights as one page.
Wow! Okay, I am impressed. How do I sign up? What does it cost?
Ha! Get this. It's all free and you don't even have to sign up or fill out any registration forms.
Sweet! Okay, I'm going to go download it right now.
Cool! By the way, thought I'd mention, there is no download requirement either.
This is too good to be true.
Try it. What have you got to lose? Rohit is fabulous.
Highlight the web.
Go Rohit. Do you ever copy paste parts of a web page, drop it into email and send it off to somebody? Why bother? Wouldn't it be easier if you could just highlight it? Now you can. Make yellow highlights on any web page of your choice. No sign up, no service to join, no downloads. It's fast and it's free. Rohit.com. Do you ever copy paste parts of a web page and paste them into email to share with somebody else? Wouldn't it be easier if you could just highlight it so that they could keep the context and the credibility intact? Well, you can. Use Rohit.com. Rohit.com is a no sign up, no download free service that allows you to highlight any web page. Rohit.com.
And now back to our show where our host, Rohit Chandra, a serial entrepreneur who himself has raised millions of dollars in equity financing, started several companies in Silicon Valley, and is always looking for good people and good ideas. If you have a good idea that you're committed to, please get in touch with him.
Sapne Salamat. Welcome back, dosto. We're going to grab one call live on the air. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. Sapne Salamat, my friend.
I just wanted to call and say I am a big, big, big fan of Mr. Wadhwa. I follow him on Twitter. I read his articles, his blogs on TechCrunch. Big fan. I have a question. I don't know if it might relate to today's topic or not, but I thought I'd throw it out there.
Go for it.
Okay. So I'm a business guy, and I happen to become a business guy by chance and not by choice. I have these projects in mind. I have these ideas in mind, which I want to get out there. And I've tried everything from, Rent-A-Coder, Elance, and I can't get the quality that I want to create this project. I was wondering if there's any way coders could be found, better coders could be found.
You know what I suggest you do is you start networking. That the amazing thing about Silicon Valley is that it's one giant network, and you can go from one party to another, one meeting to another. You know, Thai basically is the gorilla over here. They're the largest networking group here. Go to the Thai meetings, you'll find, you know, not dozens, but hundreds of people like you who have great ideas and who have ability to code things. You basically have to network your way through, find those people, and get them working with you. Share in the upside, and you'll find that you can motivate people to change the world. And thanks for being a follower.
Thank you so much, Mr. Right.
Sure.
Thank you.
I wanted to get Rohit to switch gears here, because forget about the past. In a nutshell, what I ended up doing after becoming a tech entrepreneur was check out of the tech world and become an academic. Ended up joining Duke University, and then Harvard came to me, and Harvard offered me a fellowship over there, and now I'm at UC Berkeley as well. So I'm a tech guy, basically, with an MBA straddling three great universities. And for the last 5 or 6 years of my life, I've basically dedicated it to giving back, to helping others, to teaching, to learning as much as I can about entrepreneurship, about U.S. competitiveness, about what gives America its advantage, and doing all I can to help the world. So this is my new mission in life. And the reason why I talked about my difficulties with venture capital was because you have to be pragmatic, that everything changes, that even your friends can turn on you when things go sad. And you just have to accept the fact that life will make its own decisions and take you where it wants to do. And the other thing is, you always have to give back. You always have to be helping others. That everyone who's listening to this show can be making an impact by helping others who are less competent than them, less experienced than them, who may follow in their footsteps and so on. So life has to be about helping others and giving and doing good for the world.
Right, I agree. And I think that's part of what this show is about. This show is actually our way of giving back and saying that, folks, how can we help you live out your dreams, and how do you sort of encouraging the next level of entrepreneur, if you will, or the next generation of entrepreneur.
Exactly.
Coming back to your comments, so you said something very interesting, which I've been sort of holding on to for a few seconds or minutes here over here. This whole idea about Ty being the big gorilla. Right. I think Ty used to be the big gorilla around here. And in the last many, many years, it's ceasing to be or getting to be being less and less relevant. Right. Those are my thoughts. What do you think?
Right, I'm going to take 5 minutes now and give you a brain dump, basically, on research.
Okay, lovely.
I knew from my tech days that Indians and Chinese in particular were particularly active in founding companies, that immigrants in particular were doing a lot for America in the tech world. Right. And I started researching it. This is one of the earlier projects I did when I joined Duke University. I got together with Professor Annalee Saxion, who is now the dean of the iSchool at UC Berkeley, to update her research. She had found that in the decade or 15 years before the late 90s, that 25% of the startups in Silicon Valley were founded by Indians and Chinese. Okay, but she had not done a national study, and this was before the dot-com boom.
Right.
I wanted to get more recent data, so I did an update of her research. We were stunned at what we learned. We found was that from 1995 to 2005, 52% of all of the startups in Silicon Valley were founded by immigrants.
52% from 1995 to 2005.
And 25.4%.
We're talking of tech companies in Silicon Valley. Those are the two qualifiers.
Tech and engineering companies
okay.
in Silicon Valley. Nationwide, 25% of all the startups in the tech and engineering world were founded by immigrants, which is mind-blowing.
Think
about it. During the greatest...
Well, what is the percentage of populace of first-generation immigrants?
Okay, now let's look at the Indian data, for example. Indians founded...
Do you happen to know what the percentage of immigrants is?
Yeah, well, I know the number of Indians is, for example, in 2000, Indians constituted 6% of the Silicon Valley workforce.
In 2000.
From 1995 to 2005... Indians founded 15.5% of Silicon Valley startups. So in other words...
Which is a lower number than what I would have expected, because I remember the number from 1999. It used to be about 38.9% or something.
What's the 38.9%?
Number of Indians that were part of an executive team in Silicon Valley tech companies.
I don't know about that study, because even Annalee Saxion showed it was about 11%.
Okay.
It was never that high.
I'll share that data with you. Yeah. I'll highlight it and send it to you.
The only two studies on this were the research I've done and what Anna has done. There are a lot of bogus studies done by people who just do their own research, which are inaccurate. There are all sorts of...
You mean like 73% of statistics are made up on the fly?
Right. There are a lot of numbers that are thrown about the number of Indians in NASA and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
That's all crap. So this is research done with some of the most reputed academics in America.
Yeah.
And it was rock solid. So it was just amazing to see how Indians have succeeded. Now, go back 30 years in Silicon Valley. There were almost no Indian-founded companies. You didn't see Indian CEOs. It was a very rare commodity.
Right.
Now, in the current time frame, we're talking about 15.5%. How did Indians achieve so much success? This is what I started researching also. I'm working with Annalee Saxion on another big project to research Thai. Because our thesis is that the reason why Indians succeeded is because of the Thai network that they found. What happened was that they came here, they learned how the Silicon Valley works. Silicon Valley is one giant network. You know, people think that government has something to do with it or to do with location or something like that. False. The reason for Silicon Valley's success is because of its culture, because of its culture of openness, risk-taking, accepting immigrants, and so on and so on, and the fact that people share ideas and they help each other. So Silicon Valley is one giant network. What Indians did was that they came here, they realized the reason for the success of Silicon Valley, and they replicated it. They formed their own network back 20, 25 years ago, and then they started helping each other, and that led to Indians becoming, you know, hugely successful. Now, your question about Thai, I was also surprised when I started this project about 10 months ago.
Which project is this?
Researching Thai.
Okay, so you have a project which is actually...
I have a major project going on. I'm working on with Annalise Saxion and with a couple of colleagues at Harvard to look at Thai itself. We were surprised that the data on Silicon Valley weren't as positive as we expected. But my conclusion right now, and this is, I haven't published any study yet, this is yet to be documented and defined. My conclusion is that... Silicon Valley Thai contributed to the ecosystem in a huge way.
Correct.
That the reason that Indians have achieved so much success here is because of Thai and
to a large extent, not exclusively.
Yeah, and other networks like this, but Thai was a gorilla over here.
Yes.
And then Thai basically became so successful, Thai members became so successful that they started forming other networks, that they basically have become assimilated by Silicon Valley. See, the beauty of this area, the beauty of California, is that it accepts immigrants. That right now there's no difference between Indians and Americans here. That they become part of the network. That
right.
they mingle and they're equal to everyone else. So Silicon Valley assimilated Thai.
Yeah.
So the Thai, you know, like you watch Star Trek and the Borgs, as you will be assimilated. Well, that's what happened to Thai over here. It was assimilated by Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
And it's become part of the infrastructure. It's become part of the Silicon Valley, mindset and success.
But interestingly, I hear in your language or verbiage, the same thought sentiment that I'm hearing is that Thai was. Why is it a was and why is it not is?
Well, you got to realize that Thai is now, because there are now 53 chapters of Thai.
Right.
Thai has become a global organization. That has planted the seeds of entrepreneurship in diverse countries such as Malaysia, Singapore, Belgium, all over the United States. So now there are many other Thais. And a lot of those Thais are like what Silicon Valley was. Okay.
But why is Silicon Valley a was?
Because
this is still the hotbed of entrepreneurial activity.
Well, this is something I've challenged the Thai board, frankly. I've had some pretty difficult discussions with them.
Good, so, but me too.
Yeah, saying that Thai needs to refocus its energies and get back to its roots, that the spirit of mentoring is not there anymore.
Absolutely
now,
not.
My concern is that Thai charter members are not mentoring the way they used to. I mean, go back to the stories of Kanwal Ray. Like, for example, Vinod Khosla.
Right.
I'll take a detour and tell you an interesting story.
Sure.
When I was an RTP, despite the fact I had built a $120 million public company, when I came to start my second company, the local venture capitalists wouldn't return my phone calls.
Right.
And eventually I found my way to Thai. Vinod Khosla mentored me. Kanwal Ray took my calls. These people helped me, despite the fact that I had no idea who I was.
Right.
And later on, I had a who's who of venture capital offering me money,
right?
And including the local venture capitalists.
Right.
When I asked them, I said, why didn't you return my phone calls when I called you then? I was so happy to take your money. You could have set your own terms. The answer was that you people don't make good CEOs.
Yes.
Okay, so we were a people. And this is why I said to you that this concept of racism and discrimination is still rampant in other parts of America. But we were a people. They looked at me as an Indian, not as an aspiring CEO.
Interesting.
But the point is that Thai helped me get over that. I was able to call up, two of the most, well-known people in Silicon Valley, and they helped me. Vinod Khosla actually spent about 2 hours, over a period of 2 or 3 months mentoring me.
Yeah.
Which absolutely astonished me.
Yeah.
Right? Why would he do it? But he did, because it was part of giving back.
Yeah.
So that spirit in the Thai charter membership is lacking right now. I mean, I know I'm going to take a lot of fire from my friends who are charter members.
No, you're not. You know what? I'm a charter member myself.
Right.
And I got out of the mentoring program about a year or two ago because of the same reasons that I found that the quality of mentoring was not very good.
Right.
Now, here I was the mentor. And part of the reason why I thought the quality of mentoring was not good was because the quality of mentees coming in was not good. And I think what sort of happened is the good quality entrepreneurs almost think of Thai as a bad word today. In fact, when I look at the entrepreneurs of my generation, most of these people, if I tell them I'm involved with Thai, I'm a charter member of Thai, they want to shun away from me. It's just like you're part of the old fogies thing.
Well, Thai Silicon Valley has to do some soul searching here, and they have to go back to their roots because it does need a revival here. But Thai as a brand is still golden. I mean, Thai has done a lot of good. It can be doing better. I mean, I'm being critical about
No, but I want you to call a spade a spade.
I mean, the fact is, Thai is still an awesome organization, and it does do a lot of good for the ecosystem here.
Yeah.
So overall, I'm very positive about it. I want to see more improvements. I want to see it focus more on mentorship and less on event planning.
That's exactly right. In fact, at one of the charter member, I guess, feedback meetings we did, and we had a huge thing where I sort of came out and said, you know, guys, what we need to do is a lot of more My Story sessions. Because I first got involved with Thai back in, I'd say, 96, 97 time frame. And the thing that helped me the most was not so much the mentoring or anything, but the inspiration. And I loved the My Story thing, where I'd look at these guys and say, like, here's another brown guy who came along and decided that he could build a $1 billion business, and he did. So I think I can build a $1 billion business. Why can't I? If he can do it, I can do it.
Rohit, they inspired me as well.
Absolutely. Right, so. And that was the number one thing. And I think that's one thing that's sort of been lacking at Thai, and something I've personally bemoaned several times. I've been very vocal about. In fact, I too am talking to the Thai board to say, like, what can we do to fix this thing? And coming back, in fact, to this show itself, part of the reason why I started this show was to bring in people like yourself that can inspire the next generation entrepreneur and say, this is my story, this is what I've done. Right. Now, what you've done is very interesting. You've sort of been an entrepreneur who's now gone back and become a media thought leader.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised where I've ended up, because I never imagined I'd be at three great universities. I mean, are you kidding? I could never have gotten into Harvard. I wouldn't even have gotten to UC Berkeley.
And now you get to teach over there, right?
I know. and now I have, so, you know, and I'm working with the most respected academics in the world. It's amazing the caliber of people I'm working with. Annalise Saxion, she's like number one in her field. Richard Freeman at Harvard is number one in his field, okay? These people actively help me and mentor me.
Good. I'm going to take a quick segue here and grab this call. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, Satya Salamat. Rohit, this is Satyajit.
Satyajit, thank you for calling. Do you have a quick question, comments?
Yeah, first of all, I just wanted to tell Vivek that I read his writings on TechCrunch. In fact, this morning I like opened my computer and first thing I went to TechCrunch to see what's latest, and I found one of his articles over there on the topic of, you know, poverty is underrated.
Right.
Yeah, it's a great article and a lot of good insight there, and I must admire his sort of relentless effort to bring the Indian entrepreneurship and throw a lot more spotlight on a public forum like TechCrunch, because TechCrunch is read by people all over the world. Yeah. And Vivek does a great job in bringing Indians on the on that list. So
Satyajit, we're moving at a quick pace. Quick question, comments. You can.
I love that kind of praise, but let's get to the, to the question.
Yeah. The little thing about Thai that I think Thai is still very ineffective for people who are like starting out. Maybe it was effective in like late 90s.
Absolutely.
But in the current times, because I'm a small time entrepreneur, I'm starting off my own company, but I find it quite ineffective in my own way.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm a repeat entrepreneur, and even I'm not finding it very effective. So you're saying you're starting out somewhere as a first-time entrepreneur, and for me as a repeat entrepreneur, it's not very effective either. In fact, part of the reason why we got into this whole thing was the advice that one of the earlier callers was asking about finding coders. I'm running my own startup. I have not found any good coders at Thai, and I'm fairly regular over there. In fact, I'd go back to what that caller said. Sites like RAC, GAF, Elance, Odesk are great places to find good guys. But to that caller's point, it takes
Rohit,
a lot of...
I have to take you to task for this thing.
Okay.
We can't condemn the people that go to Thai. I've been to Thai meetings.
I'm not condemning them. But
amazing people that come there. I mean, there are a lot of exceptional coders there. There are a lot of exceptional managers there. A lot of exceptional executives over there. I would criticize Thai for not doing more mentoring, and that can be fixed. But Thai is a victim of its own success. As I said, Indians have now become part of the culture of Silicon Valley. They're everywhere, and they're like anyone else is in Silicon Valley, which is a sign of success.
Yeah. Well, let's make this interesting. Right. So we have a differing opinion. That's always good fun.
Right.
So I think the quality of people that I meet at Thai has gone down significantly over the years.
I don't know how it's been over the past few years, but I've been to Thai meetings. I've been very impressed with the people I met there. I got to tell you that these are top-notch in whatever they do. Many of them don't have experience.
Oh, that's okay. Right. That's okay. I like these guys. Some of the best companies are built by first-time entrepreneurs. Right. So I love the first-time entrepreneurial. Don't get me wrong on that. But the thing is, you can see the quality of the entrepreneur coming through. You know, is there passion? Is there fire? Is there dedication? Is there hunger?
Right.
And when you talk to the guy, you can also, I'm fairly hands-on from a technology standpoint. I can gauge technology also pretty deep. And what I'm finding is the good people do not end up at these meetings, unfortunately. There's a lot of business types that come there to say, like, okay, what can I latch on to? So the people that are looking for giant shoulders to stand on, but there aren't any upcoming giants, so to speak.
I can't comment on that.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Rohit, so before I hang up, I have a real quick question for Vivek. I recently saw a program on KQED, I'm not sure where. Is he also involved in some producing some films with, I think, Meera Nair or someone?
No, not at all. Well, you know, what happened was that during my transition from the tech world to academia, I took a year off just doing nothing, basically. And my younger son decided he wanted to be a movie star. My elder son decided he wanted to be a movie star. He wanted to be in Bollywood. So I actually took him there. I got him involved with Bollywood to show him what it's all about. I helped produce a film called, it's actually out, you can rent it, My Faraway Bride. Rent it from Netflix.
That's the one.
Yeah, exactly. You can download it also. It was my adventures in Bollywood. I've written about it. If you go to businessweek.com, do a search on Wadhwa Bollywood, you'll see an article called Bollywood Here I Come. It basically was a story of how a techie like me ends up going to Bollywood, and Feroz Khan, the late Feroz Khan, invited me to his house, invited Selena Jetley, Miss India, over. And then I ended up getting involved with a lot of other things, and I had all these Miss Indias and, you know, Miss Universes. That's where I met all these people. It was just an amazing period of time, but Bollywood is crooked as hell. I headed for the hills because what I was looking for was to get into a universe that was more ethical than, because I was burnt out after the battles of venture capitalists, because I felt like my best friends were stealing from me.
Yeah.
That's how I felt.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get away from that world. This is why I exited. And here was a world that was more crooked than anything I've ever seen.
I was going to say, but I just didn't want to sing. I want to stir this pot yet again?
No. But the Bollywood and Hollywood, equally. Hollywood is as crooked as Bollywood is.
Oh, okay. No, I wasn't talking Bollywood, Hollywood. I was trying to compare it to the Silicon Valley.
I know. So I paid my dues in Bollywood. I exited from it. And then I became an academic. And academic is a wonderful world. Yeah. It's the most ethical, proper place you can be.
Yeah. Lovely. Well, great. Satyajit, thank you for your call. We're going to have to take a quick break. My producer's furiously signaling that we need to take a break. And phone number to the studios is 408-912-5565. Give us 2 minutes and then you can call and we continue talking with Vivek Wadhwa.
Do you ever search for anything on the internet? Ever use Google or Yahoo? Typically, you will go through several pages to find the information you seek. And it's only parts of a page that are relevant to you, not the entire page. So why not just highlight the most relevant portions? Everything you highlight is automatically clipped and saved and collected for you. And so are the underlying pages. Really. And don't worry. At Rohit.com, we magically do all this without ever asking you to fill out a form or register for our service. And we certainly don't ask you to pay for anything. So automatically save everything relevant to you forever.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners. Vinu Prashar has more than 20 years of experience in taxes, finance, and accounting for individuals and for businesses. Work with the best round the year for major life events, tax planning, and tax filing. Expect excellent service, quality, trust, and integrity, all at a good value. You can reach Vinu at 650-722-2021 or on the web at www.prasharcpa.com.
Vinu Prashar, CPA, is an accounting and tax professional and a member of AICPA and CalCPA.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners.
If you'd like to reach a large audience of engineers, technical people, marketing people, biz dev folks, PR people, this is a show to advertise on. You can reach us at 408-469-4192 or on radio@ruhit.com. Do you ever copy paste parts of a web page and paste them into email to share with somebody else? Wouldn't it be easier if you could just highlight it so that they could keep the context and the credibility intact? Well, you can. Use Rohit.com. Rohit.com is a no-sign-up, no-download free service that allows you to highlight any web page. Rohit.com. Are you a blogger? Do you have a blog? Put a highlighter button on your blog so anyone that comes to your blog can highlight the most relevant parts of your blog for themselves and easily share it with their friends and family. It's very viral and increases the distribution of your blog. tens of thousands of bloggers are already using it. Don't miss this opportunity and get left behind. Check out Rohit.com.
And now back to our show, where our host is Rohit Chandra, a serial entrepreneur who himself has raised millions of dollars in equity financing, started several companies in Silicon Valley, and is always looking for good people and good ideas. If you have a good idea that you're committed to, please get in touch with him.
Sapne Salamat, welcome back. We are talking to Vivek Vadva. We are talking about how Indians have started companies. We're talking about Thai, and we're talking about the influence of Thai.
Ruth, I was just listening to your ad that was just playing. It seems like I should interview sometime. What is Rohit anyway?
Rohit is my next startup, which I'm hoping will one day be a household name. It's very exciting. Actually, a guy like you might find use for it because you, I guess, are fairly active on Twitter. And what you're doing is you're sort of, I guess, are quoting stuff and referencing other websites and pointing people to things. Go check this out.
It works with Twitter? If it works with Twitter, I'll try it out.
Yeah, it works with Twitter, absolutely. Right. The whole idea is when you point to somebody, we give you a tiny URL and goes to the page that's already highlighted.
Sounds good.
So there's no sign up, no download.
I actually found Twitter to be an amazingly useful tool that I put thoughts out on it.
Yeah.
And I get hundreds of people sending me back messages and data so that when I write articles now, what I typically do is that when I think about the article I'm going to write, I just put my thought out there saying I'm going to write about this. Suddenly I get flooded with feedback to help me perfect my own idea. And that makes my writing a lot better. It also saves me a lot of research time.
Yes, absolutely. Right.
So, in fact, you should probably get your listeners to start using social media more effectively also.
Absolutely, we should. So, all right, I'm going to open up the phone lines, 408-912-5565. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, Sapne Salamat, Rohit.
Yes, Sapne Salamat, caller, do you have a quick question, comment?
Yes, I do have a question for Vivek Vadva. Hi, Vivek.
Hi.
Yeah, I actually just wanted to set up the stage. I have attended Thai for about 7 years. Almost every single person would know me by face, if not by name. But I chose not to go there anymore for two different trends that I see which didn't fit into what I was trying to do. One trend was about building a successful company. So every 100 successful companies that are built, there is only one that's successful and 10 about float around and create their own identity. And out of every industry that we talked about, there was one successful company like Google or Facebook. None of them came out of Thai. Never. Second, out of the 10 companies that float around and didn't get bought by or, you know, acquired for cheap by the VCs, didn't come out of Thai. Only one or two of them were from Thai. So I kind of concluded 97% failure rate. Do I want to be part of it? Second was about the family decision. I think most of the people I found who thought they had fire and passion were quite single person earning family, not the trend that I come from where two people want to build a career and the family at the same time. Because every single woman who ended up becoming my mentor ended up in divorce later on. So, those two trends, do you have any comments on?
Well, first of all, what you're saying about Thai not producing successful companies may not be accurate because we're actually documenting and I'm putting a paper together which documents about 100 very successful companies that came out of Thai. But the point is that forget about, forget about Thai for a moment. When you talk about successful companies, most companies do fail. And one of the problems I've seen in Silicon Valley, I've met several hundred entrepreneurs over the last year or so since I've been here. And everyone seems to be building the same old stupid Twitter applications over and over again. Nothing personal.
Touché, touché.
Nothing total, but they don't think beyond the...
innovation.
They don't think outside the box here.
Yep.
There are a lot of other problems that need to be solved. I wrote an article for TechCrunch called What's Better, Building Another Facebook App or Saving the World. You can solve problems of poor people in India. You can solve problems of farmers in the United States. You can be solving all sorts of problems which go well beyond the type of stupid applications that we keep seeing built over here. Think broadly and be, you know, create new spaces, you know, be innovative and just change the world. You don't have to do the same thing over and over again. This has nothing to do with Thai. I mean, Thai basically is an organization where you go and meet other people, like-minded people, and you can attend some events and so on. This is a big, different issue altogether.
Or hopefully like-minded. Who was the famous person? Was it Gandhi who said, be the change you want to see in the world?
Absolutely, yeah.
Great. Thank you for your call. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Yeah, hi. This is Hardeep here.
Hardeep, Sapne Salamat, my friend.
Sapne Salamat. I'm a first-time entrepreneur, and my question is probably not relevant to today's topic, but it is relevant to the overall startup thing. My question is around the company valuation.
Yes.
And my question is that, you know, I was using sweat equity as a way of valuation, initial investment plus sweat equity. And, you know, I walked it through a couple of people, and they said, no, you can't use sweat equity. But nobody is able to give me what should I use then as a valuation method. And then I went to a couple of these companies like Liquid Scenarios and, you know, VC experts and all that. So they have these products and all that. But I'm not sure whether, you know, I will be able to do that using those tools also. So do you have any...
You know, first of all, you've got to realize that this whole concept of valuations and so on, it's all bogus, that the valuation of the company is what someone is prepared to pay for it. Because who's to say that you build some tools, you have a great idea, whether it's worth $1 million or $5 million. There's no valuation for it. What happens is that if you have an idea that has potential that they can own a market, you need to start bootstrapping your way through and building it, proving it. Once you start gaining customers and gaining traction, and once you prove the concept, you'll find that people come to you. Now, the way you get a valuation, basically, is by having more people coming to you, bidding against each other. You know, they come up with all these bogus spreadsheets which show this upside, that upside. No one knows. They just make it up. I mean, whether it be investment bankers or venture capitalists, they just make the numbers up as they go. What counts here is whether you have a product that people want to buy. If you build something that really has market need, that can achieve profitability, you'll find the money comes to you. And when, again, you know, the more demand you have, the higher the price you can get for it. That's simply the way valuations work. Supply and demand and negotiating the heck out of it once you have that.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, but thing is that it's just a chicken and egg theory right now. So, for example, if I have a product in beta...
No, Hardeep, it's actually not a chicken and egg theory problem. It's much simpler than that. I'm going to make it the company and I say, you want to buy a piece of land. You sit down with somebody across the table and say, what is this piece of land worth? If this piece of land is out in the boondocks, it's worth nothing. If this piece of land is someplace that everybody else wants to be, it's got higher value. The question is, can you demonstrate where your piece of land is? So at the end of the day, it comes down to a negotiation between somebody that's willing to put money down and somebody that's willing to give up that piece of land.
Okay.
So there's no valuation here. That's all, like I said, it's all bogus. What really matters is getting people ready to write checks to you.
Yep.
That's what you have to focus on. And the way to do that is by building something of value, by building something that customers want to buy. So really, all of you should just focus on one thing. You know, start off by finding products that people really want to buy.
Great. Hardeep, thank you for your call. I see my switchboard is completely lit up, so I'm going to start grabbing calls real quick. Callers, please get to your question real quick. 408-912-5565. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Sapne Salamat, Rohit.
Hi.
Go ahead, Sapne Salamat. What's your question?
I'm Mohina. Actually, I was inspired by your program.
I'm delighted to hear that, Mauli.
Yes, I have a daycare.
Continue.
Mohina?
Continue, Mauli.
Okay. The thing is, I want to volunteer. In what way I can do it? That's what I wanted to know. Like,
I'm sorry, can you restate the question?
I want to volunteer.
Oh, you want to volunteer to the show?
Not to the show, wherever, like whatever I can do, that's what is my question, like in what way I can do it.
Wow, that's a very open-ended question. I'd suggest volunteering starts at home, so I'll say come volunteer for the radio show. We're doing this in a non-commercial way. We can use all the help you can give us. Send us an email, radio@ruhit.com.
Sure, I'll do that. I'll email it so that from there we can go. That's what you're trying to say, right?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Great, thank you. All right, so 408-912-5565, we are talking with Vivek Wadhwa, thought leader, opinion maker, repeat entrepreneur, writes for TechCrunch, writes for Business Week. And Vivek, there was another very interesting idea that you threw out there that I wanted to talk about, but unfortunately we didn't get enough time, but I still want to touch upon this whole notion. You're doing a study where you said VCs invest in successful companies.
Right.
Tell me more.
Well, I'm actually researching this entire venture capital thing because the belief that people have is that VCs invest in innovation, that they take risks. VCs don't. VCs will invest in an idea that's proven where they believe they can make the maximum return. That's what their mission in life is. Their partners don't give them money to go and change the world and to innovate. So they're very focused on proven technologies. And so your listeners basically have to realize that before they even think about raising venture capital, they have to find something that people want to buy that'll make an impact.
Yep. Yeah. I agree with that. I completely agree with that, which is why I sort of wanted to bring that up. But I know the switchboard is lit up, so I'm going to grab another call real quick. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Sapne Salamat. My name is Shankar Sitarama. And I had a question and basically a comment. I know that you guys were discussing about mentoring in Thai. And I've been trying very hard to try to get into some kind of mentoring. So I was wondering what kind of opportunities would be there, or are there any other kind of networks beyond Thai that I can try and get in touch with and try to get to be mentored?
Well, you've done the first step already by calling in on this show. If I were you, the first thing I would have done, well, actually, you did a fantastic job of introducing yourself. I would also plug your own email address and say, folks, I'm looking for mentoring. If you can help me, please reach me at shankar@whatever.com.
Yeah, sure. And I need to send an email to the show?
You may, if you like to, radio@ruhit.com. But more importantly, I'll give you another opportunity. Give out your email address so anybody that's willing to mentor and is listening to the show will reach out to you.
My name is ssitarama@gmail.com. My email, that is ssitarama@gmail.com.
Beautiful.
I will send an email to you too.
Good. Thanks. Send me an email and we'll direct you to somebody in your industry. Thank you. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Yes. Vivek, this is Naren Bakshi.
Hey, Naren, how you doing?
Sapne Salamat, Naren.
Good. You should take the questions on Thai.
No, I've
been taking bullets for you.
Yeah, so let me tell you my perspective. When we think about mentoring, clearly a lot of responsibility is really on entrepreneurs. It is really entrepreneurs who figure out who are the people who can help them and how they convince them to create emotional bond with them to make sure that they would want to mentor them. I still remember when I was building my first company, it is me who went after people like Kanwal Reiki. He was not available, so I went and saw him at his home when he was ill. So over a period of time, he got to understand what I was doing. And then same thing happened with Prabhu Goyal, same thing happened with Vijay Vashi. So I think it is very wrong for any entrepreneur to say, somebody should give me a mentor. Somebody can give you possible mentors. Somebody can suggest, here are the people that might be in your field. But it is really up to entrepreneurs to be aggressive, be entrepreneurial to find the right mentors.
So Rohit, Naren Bakshi is someone I look up to. I suggest you give him his own show. Bring him here in the next few weeks and have him spend some time discussing this issue, because we raise a lot of issues. There's no way we can do it in the time we have left.
Right.
But he's, like I said, he's someone I look up to.
Yeah. Great. Thank you for your call, Naren. All right. So VCs invest in successful companies. Coming back to that thought real quick, because I think I've talked to a couple of friends who are VCs, and I said, would you have invested in Twitter?
Right.
And all of these guys say, no, we would not have invested in Twitter. So here we have an interesting dichotomy. We're talking about building innovation, things that are not proven on the one hand. On the other hand, we're also saying that when you're looking at building these things that are unproven, it's harder to get funding. What's an entrepreneur to do?
You got to bootstrap. If you just go to Business Week or TechCrunch and do a search on my name and the word bootstrapping, you'll see several articles I've written. Because my belief is that that's the only way to go.
Yeah.
Forget about starting off with a business plan, going to Sand Hill Road and pitching it to VCs. It won't work. You're going to be wasting your time. Go and build it. Go and get money from friends and family. Whatever you have to do, beg, borrow, steal. Well, don't steal, preferably. But just make it happen.
Yeah. Okay. Phone number is 408-912-KLOK. Going to take a quick question, and then we have to run away from here. So, Vivek, you're also doing research on another very interesting subject, which is regular entrepreneurs versus super successful entrepreneurs.
Right.
What a fascinating thought. If you could quickly summarize some of those things, then
we
have to run away.
Let me give you a summary of what we learned about regular entrepreneurs. That they're not typically young college dropouts, as is believed. They typically tend to be middle-aged. The average age of a tech entrepreneur is 39. that when we asked them what their success factors were, they all talked about experience management and luck. That believe it or not, luck plays a big role in success. That you can do everything right and fail. You can do everything wrong and succeed. That's because luck and karma and a lot of other things play into it. So we've been researching what makes them tick. Now we're looking at super successful entrepreneurs. We're going to compare them, and my guess is we'll find the same thing, that there's no difference between a regular entrepreneur and a super successful entrepreneur, that they all basically happen to, the super successful ones happen to be at the right place at the right time, and they got lucky. That's my belief. Let's see what the research says.
Wow. You know, it's interesting. I agree with like 95% of what you say, except for this the luck factor. I'm not a big believer in this luck factor.
Well,
I think if I look at all the super successful entrepreneurs, I think they're all the early 20 kids who started out with ungodly amounts of ambition and passion.
No, they're not. That's false.
Oh, I mean, good.
There are a few notable ones that you read about, Facebook and so on. But look at Naren Bakshi is a typical entrepreneur. He was about 45, 50 when he started his company.
Right.
He built a very successful, great company.
Okay. Oh, I would so love to debate this point with you, but you completely ran out of
time. Bring him on board and debate with him.
Okay. Interesting. All right, folks, I hope you will enjoy listening to this show. You can always find us on the web at rohit.com/radio. That's rohit.com/radio. We do have newsletters, so you can sign up for those newsletters. As you know, this show is non-commercially put together for the benefit of the next generation entrepreneur. So we are looking for volunteers. Folks, if you have some time, come help us out. We need all kinds of help. We've got a very basic website. Come help us out with our website. We do also archive the podcasts, so you can catch archives of past shows. And you can also help with that effort. We're also looking for anybody that basically wants to help entrepreneurs. Want to give a quick shout out to Ashwin. Ashwin's been helping us out for the last few months and been doing a fantastic job. So Ashwin, thank you so much. Also want to commend the callers for all the questions. Fantastic. Appreciate your calls. Keep those calls coming. That's what keeps the show interesting, exciting, and fun for everybody else. And folks, we're talking today with Vivek Wadhwa. Vivek is thought leader, opinion maker. Thank you for coming on the show.
Sure, and they can find me on wadhwa.com, wadhwa.com. You can find my articles, research there. You can follow me on Twitter. You can write emails to me. My address is on my website.
Yep.
So I'm easy to get hold of.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Sapne salamat.
If you'd like to reach a large audience of engineers, technical people, marketing people, biz dev folks, PR people, this is a show to advertise on. You can reach us at 408-469-4192 or on radio@rohit.com. Do you ever copy-paste parts of a web page and paste them into email to share with somebody else? Wouldn't it be easier if you could just highlight it so that they could keep the context and the credibility intact? Well, you can. Use rohit.com. Rohit.com is a no-sign-up, no-download free service that allows you to highlight any web page. ROOHIT.com. Do you ever copy-paste parts of a web page, drop it into email, and send it off to somebody? Why bother? Wouldn't it be easier if you could just highlight it? Now you can. Make yellow highlights on any web page of your choice. No sign-up, no service to join, no downloads. It's fast and it's free. Rohit.com.